Hi and hello, football fans. You know, in order to support the DDFP, we need the help of some great advertisers. And in order to find those great advertisers, we need you to tell us more about you. So please, go to podsurvey.com/Damashek, that's Damashek, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little bit better. That way, we can show advertisers just how swell our listeners are. Plus, once you've completed that survey, you can choose to enter for a chance to win $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Damashek, Damashek. Thanks for your help, and now let's start the show.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Damashek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we're ready to roll with what's sure to be a gangbusters episode of the DDFP. How do I know? Because we've already had the conversations you're about to hear within the last several days. First up, it's Y2J himself, Chris Jericho from AEW. That's Tony Khan's new league, the Jacksonville Jaguars owner and swell fella himself. Chris Jericho, I can tell you right now, you hear me do it periodically. I reference Babe Ruth in Wrigley Field in the 32 World Series calling a shot. I can do this. This is a cheat. I don't need to predict this because, like I say, I already know he's a swell fella, and the conversation is lots of fun, so you're going to enjoy that also. A longtime friend of the DDFP. You may recall that way back in the draft about 5 years ago, we sat down and broke bread or broke sushi with Kyle Long, the younger brother of Chris Long, and of course the son of Howie Long, one of the NFL's royal families there. Kyle Long is now, as he declared on social media, a Chicago Bear for life. We caught up with him at the Super Bowl, the night before the Super Bowl, to be exact, as well as Kirk Cousins, his arch nemesis from the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll play that back for you as well to help celebrate his new deal. But first up, like I say, it's Chris Jericho from AEW, a new football fan, a CFL guy. His dad played in the NHL, and we have a lot to talk about. Real quick before we get to that, MVP, did you watch, first of all, on Sunday night, did you catch True Detective season finale?
I did not watch the finale yet. Okay. I am behind, unfortunately.
All right. Well, wait for Eddie Spaghetti to return. Then he's out this week, but we'll hold that conversation for you. What I will tell you is I loved it. If anyone's waiting for my opinion, some of you have reached out on social media to ask my thoughts on the season and the finale. I thought it was dynamite. It was a hard right turn into sweetness. That's all. I don't want to ruin it.
I can't wait.
I guess that's vaguely a spoiler alert. It's a season-long setup that seduces your darker angels to see. I can't wait to find out how dark this is going to get. This is getting darker and darker. And then that's all I want to say. I don't want to ruin it too much for you, MVP. We'll discuss that with Spaghetti. It was a wonderful season, though. The sophomore year is a thing of the past now. Years one and year three, dynamite stuff from Nick Pizzolatto, the writer of that. But also, MVP, I noticed that on Sunday night the Oscars were on, and I didn't see most of those pictures, but I did. I saw Black Panther.
Yes.
Because everything I see is now with the little ones. So I know I'm up to speed on all the animated fare. Besides that, though, spotty at best.
Right. Black Panther is awesome.
Did you think so?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
It was a great superhero picture. But then we have all the screeners at my house, you know. So we said, well, let's at least see one. And the one that we collectively decided upon was A Star is Born. The latest installment of A Star is Born. Been made, I think, four times now. Your thoughts?
I loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it. I'm a big Bradley Cooper fan, as well as Gaga. Amazing.
You like Gaga?
I do like Gaga.
You liked her for years now?
Yeah, not to the degree that I really love Bradley Cooper, to be honest, but I think it was such a good movie. Great romance. Cried a couple times in a theater. That does it for me.
What part made you cry? The final third?
Yeah, and the first, like when they first meet and they're like singing together in the parking lot.
Ooh. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I thought, see, I was with you for two-thirds of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's first of all start with that. Let's rank them out here, Emma VP, you and me. What are the most affecting romances we've seen on the silver screen?
Ooh, I'm trying to think.
I mean, what are the classics even? What are considered to be the best? A Love Story? Semi-lame.
You Pretty know, Woman.
Pretty Woman, weird, never cared for that.
The Notebook.
See, I didn't see that one. I will tell you this, though, and then we'll get to Jericho and Kyle Long and all the sports talk here. But I want to put together a proper list here as we go along. Maybe we should think about that. Should we play Jericho now and
sure.
then move on afterwards?
Let's do it. Get the people
see,
something to look forward to.
See, that's called a tease. That's right, MVP. That's what you got to learn. I want you to learn some things. I want you to listen. I'm here to teach you. You understand?
Yeah.
Be a sponge, why don't you?
I will.
I'm telling you, this. I'm kicking this ahead now. So we're going to have this conversation. But first, here he is, everybody. I don't mind telling you, talk about love stories. I think this is the good first act of what could be an enduring love story. That of Dave Damashek and Chris Jericho. Take a listen, why don't you?
Dave Damashek.
All right, here we go, everybody. A superstar from the WWE, seated to my immediate left here. Fascinated, too, that your old man played NHL hockey as well. A athletic family, if it ever was one. It's Chris Jericho,
hey.
Everybody. What's happening, Pally?
And the crowd goes mild.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, excited. To be here. I just did a thing for the 100-year anniversary of the NFL, and I'm a new NFL fan.
Really? What turned you around on that? Because you're from Winnipeg,
well,
Manitoba.
Well, yeah, see, when you grow up in Winnipeg, especially the prairies, and I grew up in the 80s, so I'm sure now there's much more of a NFL penetration into that market. But at the time, there really wasn't, and I'm sure you could watch it if you wanted to, but it was more CFL. Winnipeg Blue Bomber.
Dieter Brock,
that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the most famous bomber. But I never really connected with football too much. And then my wife's been a huge fan for years, Vikings fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually last year I was just talking about this, the Minneapolis Miracle when Diggs caught that pass with like a second left and they won the game and go to the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. Suddenly that was what hooked me, that moment.
You're kidding me. Wow, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, so this season was the first season that I ever really got into the entire NFL and know like the stats and who's winning and who's losing and who's playing this week. And there's a Sunday game and there's a Monday game and there's a Tuesday game. And I was telling them when the Super Bowl ended, it was the first time I ever had football withdrawal.
That's such a
right?
crazy thing. Yeah,
yeah,
at this point in life to jump in on.
Sure, at 48 years old to become a fan of the NFL. And also, too, the stereotype of, you know, the wife asking the husband how the game works and what the rules are is different in our house when I'm asking my wife, well, how does overtime work? And what's a two-point
Wait, four version? Downs? This is crazy.
What? Four downs and 20 yards less of a field? I don't get it.
Good for you. I don't like when people attempt on any level, whether it's this alliance stuff that's going right now or when Americans decide, hey, I'm going to start watching the Premier League in the UK or whatever. I don't like when they act like that's an intellectual choice. It's a decision that's made with the heart, and
sure,
this is how you came to see it. You saw the Diggs thing, and you vibed to it.
Right, because you have to connect to it, and something has to hook you. And you can watch it out of curiosity. Of course, I watched football, but the true secret to being a sports fan is devoting your heart and soul to a team, like the Winnipeg Jets. Last year, when they got to the Final Four, they lost to the Vegas Knights, and then, that's something where suddenly all my friends in Vegas are arguing with me every day on each game because it's the Jets. So when you have that connection, it really brings the game to life for you. And, you know, when you're talking about, let's say, the Diggs thing last year, it's amazing the emotion that you feel in sports to where you're so angry and pissed off that this Vikings team blew it and they're not going to make it to the championship. And I hate this team. I hate this game. I hate this whole freaking sport. And then what? He just caught the ball with 1 second left. And then you just... exact opposite. So, oh my God.
sports
in
are
a second.
Weird.
In
it's
a second.
It's weird that that can happen.
Yeah.
The range, I talked with, I'm going to name drop for you now, the comedian Bill Burr a couple of months ago about
the
this very
thing.
Comedian
Bill Burr?
Well, listen, this guy, you know, he's got the world's his oyster. Same for you. You guys are sharing the oyster, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and he, you know, he gets to do what he wants. He's like, and I said to him, and because he talks to a lot of troops overseas, and even these soldiers, you know, who are actually in, you know, in the worst possible kind of situations a human being can be in, you know, with,
right.
you know, in some of those war zones.
Yeah.
And yet, it's weird that the range of human emotion is only so great because you feel basically, I mean, you're behind the scenes of, you know, of those, of creating those emotions for fans,
right,
and yet
sure.
you're susceptible to them as well.
Sure, of course. And that's one thing I love about being a new fan is it is like being a kid. It's like discovering, like it'd be like if you introduced your kids to Kiss and or here's this band called the Beatles. What is this? Oh, I love this. And you got this whole world that opens to you. And that's kind of what happened with the NFL. And like I mentioned, at 48 to get this whole new historical sport and event and activity, it's pretty cool.
Wouldn't it? See, I feel like, and I said this to a lot of Canadians got upset with me about this when I said this about a year ago. I said the CFL. I get that it's got its own history and people, it's diehards and everything else, and it does reasonably well in the ratings and everything else. But if they want to go next level, they should take on the American rules and become the minor league to the NFL. Wouldn't that have been a good idea?
Once again, though, and this is something with the CFL, it's like one of those things, if you're in Canada, you get it. If you're not just looking at this strange little league with these weird rules, and for the longest time, two of the teams are the same name.
Same name, weird.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Ottawa Rough Riders.
Right.
I mean, who's your favorite team? Rough Riders. Well, which one? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only eight teams. You couldn't think
that
of another
dumb.
One.
That you was know, dumb.
Yeah, it was better than when they expanded into the States and had the Baltimore Nothings.
That was the weird.
Remember that? They didn't have a name. They were the Baltimore Nothings. So you can't take this game with these different rules and try and bring it into the States because it's like arena football or at least the one you could pass off the wall or whatever. It just doesn't work. But in Canada, there's 40,000 people that go to a Stampeders game or to the Bombers game. And when the Grey Cup comes, it's a big deal. Now, it's funny because I went to the Grey Cup a couple years ago and the halftime show, this year halftime show is Maroon 5 and there's bombs and there's 1,000 lights and there's lasers and there's girls. And this one was BTO playing Taking Care of Business with a skidoo jumping, one skidoo jumping behind and then driving around in a circle and jumping again. And that was our halftime show.
I'm down for that level of noise.
And people had a blast.
I you know, love BT right? Bachman Turner
Taking
overdrive.
Care of Business.
I always say, people, I say, what was your favorite halftime show in Super Bowl history? I wasn't alive to see it, but I still see. I don't know if you've ever seen the NFL films. At halftime, there were two guys who had jetpacks on that would take them like 30 feet in the air. And back in 1967, that was a remarkable thing. Let's just do that again. Just have fly guys. Just have guys kind of float around the stadium for a few. We don't need the whole to-do.
Right, the whole thing.
Now, before we talk about anything else, you're Canadian. You like the Winnipeg Jets. I can tell from briefly speaking with you, you know your stuff about the game of hockey.
Mm.
I'm not going to plant any seeds. Well, maybe I will. I just want to see, like, now, without influencing you, the greatest hockey
Gretzky.
Player of all.
Gretzky.
Don't talk like that.
Gretzky, that's by far, so much better than Lemieux.
Cut it off.
And let me tell you.
Cut this
edit
out.
Edit this out.
I don't
kick him out of the studio.
I don't want this. I don't want any
Let me
of this.
Tell you the
Not
reason
Not on my
why.
Show.
Let's have
Not
a
on my watch.
Let's have a debate about it.
All right.
We're both.
I need at least 8 hours.
We're both adults here.
Okay.
In my opinion, the reason why Wayne, and I'm saying Wayne, because I know him.
Because you're Canadian.
I'm name-dropping, too. I know Wayne Gretzky.
You've met Wayne now.
Well, here's the best thing. The first time I met him, I went up to him and said, hey, I'm a big fan. He goes, I know who you are. He goes, you're Jeff Jericho. And I was like, well, he knew half of my name. I'll take it. Yes,
Why don't you call him a phony and slug him?
I am Jeff Jericho. Wayne, much like Bobby Orr, changed the game. Now, also, too, when you're talking the longevity, Mario could have been. But he got hurt too much. He's not
Gale Sayers. That's why I said I don't want to go old school football guys.
Brian Song now?
Oh, so you do know. I'm sorry.
Of course I
know. Corrected. Listen, Gale Sayers had a devastating knee injury, so he's a Hall of Famer and everything else, but it feels like, man, if he could have hung in there a little bit, he would probably rank higher among the all-time greats. 66 Lemieux had a devastating bum back and then got cancer, and he still is one of the all-time greats.
I'm not denying it.
Wins his two cups.
I will tell you, he is the third greatest player in NHL history.
Listen, here's the other thing. You and I don't know each other, so I don't want to make trouble with you. You know,
right?
I don't want to wrestle with you or any of that.
Okay,
not what we're here to do.
Don't want to wrestle. Suddenly we're going to beat each other up now. Is
we're
what
gentlemen.
We're talking about here?
Of you and I are gentlemen.
We're having a spirited intellectual debate here.
First of all, 66 Lemieux is the numbers are not immaterial to me. That's fine.
Okay,
but they matter. But just as Emmitt Smith is not the greatest running back of all time just because he has the all-time rushing record, Wayne Gretzky's not the best because he has the most points in NHL.
No, he's the best because he holds like 17 records. Actually, he holds like 70 records in the NHL. You can Google that at home and find out how many records Gretzky still has to this day. It's phenomenal.
Oh, I didn't know. If you love him so much, why don't you marry him already?
Well, that's what I want to announce. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne and I will be getting married.
Listen, Wayno is great, but you know, if you saw him play, that's right. I have to disparage him on some level. Listen, he's one of the all-time great. Here's the other thing I'll say about Bobby Orr, and I'm not trying to make trouble with you, but when you say Bobby Orr is better than Lemieux,
yes.
Neither one of us saw him play. How do we know what Bobby Orr
because
was?
Because my dad played with him. And said when he see, I'm you got the wrong guy here.
We are going to fight.
When Orr, Bobby started, my dad said they used to go to the dressing room between periods and read the rule book to see how – is that even legal? Because at the time, if defensemen didn't rush.
Right.
And they just figured, well, you're not really allowed to. And then suddenly he would get the puck behind his own net, go through all the guys and score. And they're like, I wasn't ready. That's not right. That's not legal. So you're talking about game-changing players. Bobby would definitely be
It's an interesting point you made. You know, the San Diego Chargers revolutionized pro football in the late 70s, early 80s, so much so – that my favorite football team, the Steelers, thought that when they put a third wide receiver on the field, that like, well, are you allowed to do that?
That's not real.
You can't. Yeah. Wait, I thought it's only two receivers. Wait, three?
Exactly.
How are we supposed to stop that? We're helpless.
Now it's just
we're just mortals. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's just something that happens every game.
Where do you sit on the rock? How do you come down on him? Do you look at him and say, man, why him and not
That's
me?
That's a strange quote. Where do you sit on the rock?
I don't know.
On his lap at Christmas time.
Do you like him?
Yeah, of course I like
you
him.
You like The Rock.
Yeah, we had a great rivalry in the early 2000s. We were a great match for each other because he was a perfect babyface, good guy, great promo, captivating the audience, and I was a great heel, bad guy, that could go toe-to-toe with him in those promos. So we had great chemistry outside the ring and in the ring as well. People forget, obviously, he's such a huge star in Hollywood. Forget how good of a wrestler he was. He was a great wrestler. In the ring, we call him workers. He was a great worker. And had a lot of classic matches with him. As a matter of fact, I think he'll still say that his favorite match of all time was against me in Hawaii, which was his big return to the island where he grew up on, type of a thing. So, obviously, huge star, but I want to just give him a credit for being a great wrestler, which I think gets kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes.
A great tactician with that. What is it like to assume, because I say often, you know, I guess like Reggie Jackson is one example, or John Madden maybe had the best quote on this. If they're not booing you, I forget if that was Reggie or John Madden. Either way, one of those.
Spit it out.
One of those late 70s icons said, if they aren't booing, they don't know who you are. And I think there's something to that. Did you embrace that in advance of your professional career? Did you feel like I'm good at playing the heel? I want to be that guy.
Well, in wrestling, obviously you have to connect with the audience, and that's either by being a good guy or a bad guy. It's very rare that performers can do both. At the highest of levels. Like you look at someone like Ric Flair, greatest heel as a babyface, not quite as good. For me, I always enjoyed being a heel more. But the secret is anytime you get a very interesting bad guy, he always becomes a good guy. And that's not just in wrestling. I think of like Darth Vader, such a great bad guy. And then suddenly in the last movie, he's taking his mask off and crying. Hannibal Lecter became a good guy in the books, you know, or the Joker.
You're so right. The best bad guys, yes, the enduring bad guys have a complicated background.
Freddy Krueger became a good guy in the later movie. Huh. So it's easier to make people hate you than it is to make them like you. But once they start hating you, they automatically start to like you. So the real secret is, how do you become a hated character and then stay hated? And that was something that I was able to do in 2008 and 9 and 10 for 2.5 years, stay this most hated bad guy. And then finally, like, I can't do it anymore. And when I was in Japan last year, obviously it's easier because I'm the foreign guy. And now in the new wrestling company that I'm in, that's owned by the Jacksonville Jaguars Khan family, that we're starting AEW, everybody's so excited because it's a revolution. It's all these fans are excited for an alternative to the WWE. We sold out the MGM Garden arena in 4 minutes. Never happened before. And everyone's so excited. I was like, I have to be the bad guy here. Somebody's got to do it. So it's easy to adapt to that role because it's fun and you embrace it when people like for me, Jericho sucks is the equivalent of a standing ovation. Jericho sucks. And you're like, this is what you want. You want that reaction because you're connecting and people want to see you lose. But if you continue to win, that makes people want to see you lose even more, and they'll pay money to see it, and that's kind of the whole crux of the wrestling business.
As we learn in Animal House and in ninth grade English class, yeah, Paradise Lost. Who's the more compelling figure? The devil, that's who's more compelling. Yes, the memorable figure. What was it in Batman Dark Knight? Who's the more, Batman or was the Joker?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Figure?
And had Heath Ledger not passed away, the next movie, Joker and Batman would have been a tag team. Because he was too entertaining. He was so great. And that's the secret. Like I said, to become a heel that really gets people to hate you is an art. But to stay hated is almost impossible to do, especially in this day and age.
I feel like, to try and steer this into some pro football, current champion and reigning champ for what seems like the bulk of the century now, the New England Patriots.
Right.
It feels to me like they tried to push back on that at some point. But if you're a dynasty, it's sort of the inverse of what you're talking about, that if you're a bad guy long enough, eventually people will come to the rest. I feel like the Patriots, any dynasty will become hated because you need Star Wars would stink, as I always say, without Darth Vader. You need to have that, and that's what the Patriots are to the NFL. You need to, and I feel like they finally have embraced that. Like, everybody hates us. Great.
They just asked me when we were talking about the 100-year anniversary, who's the biggest heel in the NFL? And the one that came to mind is Tom Brady. Everybody hates him because he's so good. And once again, it's Gretzky in the 80s. As a Winnipegger, I think the most points Wayne ever scored against an individual team was against the Jets. We hated Gretzky. Hated him. Wanted to shoot him. Wanted to hit him in the knee with a pipe. Nancy Kerrigan his ass. But he was so great that if he was on the Jets, you'd be like, ah. And that's what Brady is. The world hates him because he's so good. Oh, Brady's going to win again. I hate this. It's like, why? Isn't that what we're all going for?
Yeah, just don't resist it, Brady. Just embrace it. Right.
And what does he care? He's got so many damn Super Bowl rings, he can't even put them. Where does he wear them? 3-3? 4-2? Does he put one on his thumb? That's people are paying money now to see him lose. And it's not going to happen. He's too good.
I remember when the Winnipeg Jets got to the NHL. Didn't they lose 15-3? They lost a game.
Yeah.
15
the expansion,
goals in 60 minutes.
In 79, there was an expansion into the NHL, and it was Winnipeg Jets, Quebec Nordiques, Hartford Whalers, and Edmonton Oilers. Mm-hmm. And they basically lost most of their guys to free agency, and then they had this really crappy draft for like the worst players in the league. And we had guys that was just very bad. And I remember Jimmy Mann was our big star.
I remember Jimmy Mann, the brawler, the pugilist.
And I think he was also the leading scorer that year with like 11 goals. And we did lose 15-3 many times.
Then you had Jim Kite, too.
Jim Kite,
who was deaf and wore a helmet that allowed him to hear something. And he was a great pugilist. And in the offseason, went to Kronk Gym to work out in Detroit.
He was one of those guys that was beating the crap out of everybody. And then one day, he got knocked out, cold cocked down, and he was never the same again. And that's what happens to a lot of those guys. When they finally lose a fight, it shakes them, and he was never the same.
Who's Jim your favorite as a guy who's done his own fighting in the ring? Who's your favorite hockey fighter of all time?
There's a guy. Well, there's two of them. Obviously, I love Ty Domi. Tiger.
Everybody loves Ty Domi. He's the most popular man in sports, it seems. Everybody loves him.
Is it Dave Tiger Schultz? Yeah, Tiger Schultz. He was great. And then there was a guy that played for the Jets very short period of time. His name was Sean Cronin, and they called him Cronin the Barbarian. And I remember he was beating up everybody, and one day I was at the game, and you know this, we could call him ankle benders. He could barely skate. He's just a big guy, right, just beating the shit out of people. And at one time, somehow he was in the right place at the right time, and the puck squeaked out to him, and he had a breakaway. And he was skating as fast as he could, just like a little kid, like kind of scraping back and forth. And the whole nine guys were right behind him. And he came down, and he did a little move, little deke, and scored a goal. And it was the most reaction I've ever seen. It was like his one goal of the season. I remember he was swinging his stick like lasso. And it's just, that's, once again, I'm getting goosebumps. It's one of those moments. That's what makes pro sports cool, is when you have that attachment to your team and something like that happens. You're just like, yes!
Well, like we talk about with the Patriots and Tom Brady, everybody dislikes them. Everybody roots against them because they like to see the empire get vanquished and all that sort of thing, except that they're obviously fans in the New England region that are big fans of theirs. Is it weird if you're the wrestling heel? Do you have some percentage of kids or grown-ups or whatever who are contrarians who come up and say, you're my favorite?
You always get that. And by the way, it was Tiger Williams. Dave Schultz.
I didn't want to correct you. He wore the big gold and orange and black sweater.
That's the Vancouver Canucks.
One of the ugliest sweaters
ever. When they were wearing the long pants.
Yeah.
Cooperalls, they called them. Yes, it's like, once again, when I am a heel, I really get into it and drop into it because it's a character that you're playing. And anytime I'm around the arena, I'm not signing autographs. If I'm at the airport and fans are there, I'm not signing autographs because these people will get my autograph and then later on go to the show and go, he's really not such a bad guy. He gave me an autograph.
That's so right.
So you have
to commit. Man, you got to commit to that.
And when you do Madison Square Garden, you have to park across the street. And it's a parkade, we say in Canada, a parking garage. And you have to get on the elevator and go up to the floor to walk across the street to the garden. And I got on the elevator and a guy and his kid got on the elevator, and we're riding up together. And he's like, hey, Jericho, hey, my kid and I are going to the show. Can we get an autograph? And I just was staring ahead. Hey, can you say hi to my kid? And I remember like 7, 8, watching the floors go, hey, can you say hi to my kid? Hey, you're not going to say nothing to me? Hey, you're not going to say nothing? And this guy got so mad at me. And I was just like, please open the door. Please open the door. Because I thought he was going to punch me. But I can't take the chance. Three hours later, of him going, he was really nice to my kid, and maybe there's a whole row of people that he's with, and that's a whole row of people who are not booing me. And I can't take that chance. So it's the commitment that you have to take, and if that guy's watching, I apologize to you and your son, but that to me is worth the extra commitment to the character to really make people believe it. Because if they believe it, once again, they're going to pay money to see me lose, and that just means more revenue for me and for the company, and that's my job.
Oh, man, I love that story. That's dynamite. I do remember, to the opposite of your point, I remember at the height of Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and the Sheiks,
classic,
that they got arrested and they were driving around at night together.
Yeah,
like they can't hang out. There aren't true.
That was in the 80s when that was so much more prevalent. They actually, Hacksaw got fired for that. So there you go.
The Old Glory stapled to his 2x4. Oh, man, we need like another hour. I didn't get to ask him about all my favorites, like Kamala and Coco Ware and Junkyard Dog. I love them all.
I got stories about them all, kid.
All right, you'll come back soon, and we'll do a Vikings preview, and we'll get Tony Khan in here.
Yes, All Elite Wrestling, MGM Grand, May 25th, sold out in 4 minutes, but you can see it on pay-per-view.
And okay, so give the date again just to make
sure. May 25th. From Las Vegas, the main event of Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega, which is a rematch of the main event we had at the Tokyo Dome last year, which was voted match of the year.
Maybe we could do some things where you're like, but we get to hype it, like you just are bullying me. Like you're a jerk.
Kind of like you did to me in this entire program.
I don't think that's true at all. I thought it was disrespectful.
We're going to listen back.
I thought it was disrespectful that you come into my home and you disparage the man whose jersey is right behind us.
I know it's been crawling the whole damn show. But look what's right beside it. Look at 87. Wayne. Look at that. Wayne is up on the wall.
I don't like that.
Replace
right there.
That graphic is reminding him that Gretzky's better than
we got to go with Reggie now. We can't have Reggie Wayne's jersey say Wayne anymore. I once, maybe the next time, I'll tell you the story of the showdown that Wayno and I had in the Jimmy
Lots
Kimmel Live green room.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in there. They have a bar in there.
Do you know that this Wayno, he didn't, I said to him after, I told Kimmel, ask him about who he thinks is the best of all time. He goes Gordie Howe, yeah. Bobby Orr. That's who Wayno goes.
Because Wayne would never say that. He's too classy. Wayne is a huge Gordie Howe fanatic.
I know he is. But Wayno is asked a question, and he goes with Howe and Orr and this guy and that guy. And Kimmel says, well, hey, one of our writers says it's Mario Lemieux. He's like, oh, yeah, Mario's great too. That's what he said. That was dismissive. I didn't care for that, so I confronted 99 afterwards.
What did you say?
I said, why didn't you mention Mario when you were asked the question? He said, I did. I said, no. Kimmel told you that name,
right.
And then you agreed with it. That was the conversation. Then his publicist started tugging at his elbow and like, let's go. Let's get out of the green room. And as he got 20 feet away from me, I said, hey, Wayno, Semenko's not here tonight.
Wow.
His goon. Wayno turned around and shot me a look, something fierce. But I wouldn't have minded if he would have whipped me that night.
Yeah, Wayne would have kicked your ass.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, by far.
What if I would have beaten him, though? Then I beat the greatest hockey player of all time of Lemieux.
Wayne's God. Who wins a fight between Gretzky and God? Neither, because Gretzky is God. Thank you. Good night.
Get out of here, Jericho. Oh, you're being waved out. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
Okay. Get up and leave.
I'm sorry. It was too much fun.
Shame.
Go,
Jeez.
go. Jericho, everybody.
Dave. Dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't. Dave.
You know, MVP, they say that that is one of the keys to a impactful romance displayed on the silver screen is some conflict. Like any good drama, MVP,
mm-hmm.
right? You need
yeah.
the conflict. And you hear Jericho and I, we have the roots of some legitimate conflict. He says 99 wrongly, and by the end of the movie, I will have turned him around to my way. And he will understand that 66 is greater than 99.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that goes, all right, let's do it now, MVP. As promised, what are your favorite? This Star is Born. Here's my beef with it. I loved it for two-thirds. Wonderful. You know, I thought it was intimate, as much as you can be with a guy who is presented to be one of the great music stars on the planet Earth when we meet him, and the unlikely story of how he brings this woman along and everything else. I thought wonderful stuff. Their relationship, terrific. But after, spoiler alert, it's been out long enough we can talk about it. He goes to rehab, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, he makes water on himself at the Grammy Awards.
Right.
I thought that was a little bit much, no?
Yeah. I mean, but it was, like you say, conflict. You need to, like, match it. You got to keep raising the stakes, and that's pretty bad for her career. Everyone's watching. Like, it's kind of perfect for that moment.
I can let it go that when we meet him, he's one of the biggest stars. He's playing, witness the fact that he's playing in front of what appears to be 10,000 people. If you're selling out arenas, you're one of the big stars on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, based on their own chronology, like 15 months later, he's an afterthought. What gives?
Yeah, the timeline's definitely a little wonky there. But, he's an alcoholic, so, like, that kind of gets to him. And then Allie's career taking off is supposed to take its toll on him. And so he kind of just, like, even with doesn't his voice kind of start to go a little, like, he's having, like, problems all around. So that's also reflected in his career.
I guess so, but in the meantime, she's taking off, so that's what we're learning about,
mm-hmm.
is that her star rises. But there's this music producer, Rez, who comes along, and he takes away the soul of what she wants to do, and he turns her into a pop star, like
mm-hmm.
Britney Spears or whatever, and makes her start doing dance moves in front of a dance troupe and all that. And she has some misgivings about that, but she doesn't push back that hard on it, right?
No,
she just goes along with it.
Yeah, I mean, she like wants to do what's right to have her career blow up for sure.
Rez is the devil on her shoulder, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Bradley Cooper, a trouble angel on the other one,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean,
yes.
he's got his demons, but he has pointed her toward success, and nice success too, you know, right. Rootsy kind of music, speaking from the heart. And you got to have, what's his line? You know, if it doesn't mean something, it won't endure. What's he say? What's the line exactly on that one?
I don't remember.
Well, see, I think what's coloring all your thoughts on this movie is that you were swooning for Bradley Cooper more than you were John Hamm a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it might have had some impact for sure.
See,
well, but not a ton. I'm saying you're still watching it intelligently, you know, from, you know, a critic's, writer's perspective. But yeah, he is swoon-worthy.
Okay, fine. He's a handsome devil. Have I ever told you before that there are two old ladies where we go, you know, we go to Jinkies on occasion, me and the kids, in the Valley and here in Los Angeles. And for a few years, there were two old ladies who were in there faithfully on Friday nights. And like five times in a row, we went in there and they would never believe, no matter how much I or the waiter told them otherwise, they were sure that I was Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
How about that? Isn't that nice?
That's bizarre. That's, you know, that's like an alternate universe.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
It's pretty wacky.
They live in show business land, and there's a superstar, they think. It makes perfect sense. Look at that guy. He looks pretty much like him. Pretty spot on.
How old were they?
They were elderly. Whatever.
Yeah.
What, do you think two old bats don't between the two of them can't cobble together one clean sight of Damashek and give him a little? Wait, is that so bad for me to have my parade for once?
For once.
For once, I'd like to have my parade.
All right.
Now, I thought that Rez pulling her in that direction, she should have had more misgivings about it. But then he goes to rehab, does Bradley Cooper slash Jackson. And then maybe this convinces her this is the right path, but it still is a soulless path. And so she's building her career, but maybe she's unsatisfied with it. Wouldn't it have been better to say, why is Rez the motivating factor here in Bradley Cooper doing what he does to himself? What doesn't that remove responsibility? And then wouldn't it have been true tragedy on the level, modern day tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, legitimately, not hyperbolically? Isn't that the story? If she, as he emerges from rehab, or even maybe he's not even out of rehab yet, wouldn't that have been better for her to say, don't you know, I'm unsatisfied with this, but you almost ruined it all. And then what, you know?
Yeah.
And then he could have felt bad, and maybe she didn't realize how vulnerable he was in that moment. And then he takes himself out, and then she feels guilty, thereby scuttling all her future success. Her career now stands for nothing but loot. Dirty money for Rez.
They could have gone in that direction. It would have been a little more powerful, but I think they cared a little bit more about the romance and still Cobb Winnick. It's still a happy ending in a way because she's like going by Allie Mae. Like she takes his name and she starts using that on the billboard. They just wanted to stick to the love
story.
Wait
a minute. I completely missed that part.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
She goes by Allie Mae. Like that in the end, there's someone who calls her that at least. I have to... And so it's they want to keep them together and keep that romance alive. And like with the song, like where he's appearing, playing on the piano, like it would just, I hear you, it'd be like great drama.
Do you buy also that these two, you know, they found each other, that Rez, this character who clearly is soulless himself, you buy that as a viewer, as someone seated in the theater, like, yeah, I could see Bradley Cooper reacting poorly to that one conversation.
I could see it. I don't think it's the best storytelling device to just bring in someone randomly to, like, drop the bad news. Just like you're saying, it'd be better if he said it to Allie and it came through Allie.
It's so much more tragic if it's her not being careful with her words and him overreacting to it.
Yeah, but I'm also a sucker for the happy ending thing. Like, she would probably kill herself if she was the one, like you said, the Romeo and Juliet thing, if she was straight up the one who told him.
I don't know. I loved it, and I just thought it was, like I said, I just thought it became this weird, incoherent picture that felt more like the final third just felt like a montage to me. Just felt like one long montage of events that failed to draw any emotion from me.
It definitely was. Like, the first act, like you said, is fantastic. It drops off, for sure, because it gets a little convoluted by the end. I still liked it, but I hear what you're saying. The first act is kind of magical.
Now, I will say, I don't care if Bradley Cooper can't sing. I think you're missing the point of the picture. He has found this prodigy who is a wonderful singer, and I thought she was perfectly fine in the picture as an actor, right?
Yeah,
she's I'm no great. Acting guru, but you know, I thought she was. Plus in the picture, and I thought his singing was just fine. He's supposed to be a rootsy,
I loved
you
it
know,
all.
Kind of a guy. Go ahead then, Emma VP. Tell me your favorite romances.
Ooh, I like The Notebook. I like Jerry Maguire.
Okay, I love that.
And then Titanic.
You like Titanic?
Yeah.
What?
It's a classic.
Shame on you. Shame on you, Emma VP.
All right.
How can you like that movie? Don't you see what happened? I've told you this many times before. Now I have to tell it to you again. You see, he's a nice guy. She uses him, you know?
Yeah.
She uses him. He saves her life. He teaches her how not to merely survive. He's taught her how to live. So then she does live.
Mm-hmm.
And her payback, does she tell anybody else? Does she even tell her great niece about these findings, about Liv? No, she allows the redhead who pushes her old bag of bones around in the wheelchair the whole movie. The implication there is, of course, if you're watching the movie, is why didn't you pass this on to her? Why do you let her not live? She's busy surviving, just spoon-feeding you literally and otherwise.
Yeah.
She's changing your diapers instead of having a life of her own. You know what would make a nice payback for that? That invaluable jewel that you're carrying around, you old bag.
I hear you on that.
She throws it into the sea. That's a nice love story.
It's romantic.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Here's the best one. Once. I want you to see the movie once.
Okay.
If you liked Stars Born, you will like, and you like the music in it, you'll like the music in Once even better. And I think, while the stakes aren't as great, I think you'll find that to be a moving movie. Here's the, you know what? I speak of the animated ones. One of the more moving, and it doesn't even last for very long, Up. That five-minute montage at the top of two cartoon people.
Yep.
How moving that is hard to beat, huh?
That gets me. Yeah, for sure. That's a great intro. Silver Linings Playbook gets a nod from me as well. Perhaps it's the Bradley thing influencing me again, but
yeah,
it's good stuff.
All right, so I give it a tepid thumbs up. But just be prepared. I think you'll be underwhelmed by the final third of the picture. Otherwise, I thought it was fine. Do you think those two are together?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think Cooper
Bradley's,
and Gaga?
Bradley's a faithful man.
Oh, you want to believe that?
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be better to find out he's not, because then that would mean you have a shot?
Yeah, you're right.
Don't you see
the paradox?
Even though
I'm getting married and everything, too, it's like, it's always good to have that open.
I mean this sincerely. I know people like to play that game about their little list of their, what do they call that, the get-out-of-jail-free card or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, like a hall pass or
like
whatever.
Like hall pay. Yeah, Friends, I think, popularized that, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that where that started? That you can have a list of five people?
Mm-hmm.
For real. You go out tonight, Emma VP. You and Ricky Hollywood. Trip in the Light, fantastic. One thing leads to another. Somehow you find yourself talking, you know, a bunch of, oh, wait, is that Bradley Cooper at this table sitting here talking to us? And I don't know how. One thing leads to another. He's fascinated by your story. He thinks that you say some things that really cut through for him. Wow, you really understand the human condition. What's your name? Emma VP. Oh, from the DDFP. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no wonder. That guy, he always surrounds himself with talent. I'm not surprised that you're one of them. Emma, was it? What if he said, let's forget our plans. Let's just forget our plans. You know what? That's it. You know, all right, the table's set, but so what? We can run off.
Can't do it, you know?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I know.
Who's worth $200 million probably,
it's
I'm guessing.
It's not the money.
I'm just laying out it's not the money. It factors into it if you're deciding. If you're making a decision.
Yeah.
I don't believe you now. I think you would. I think you would run away. I think that is something that you would consider.
I don't think so.
Really?
It'd be tough, though. I'd want to work with him, you know, write him a movie or something.
I don't think he'd be into it then.
No, probably not.
You see how he carries on with
he
Gaga.
He speaks French.
He does?
Mm-hmm. Oui.
Oui.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you and Bradley are going to be. You're going to be we and
yep.
us, you know?
Someday.
All right. Well, good luck with that. I don't know how it's all going to shake out. This love triangle is going to be a fascinating one. So I guess if it includes Gaga, it's four. You have to get past his wife and Gaga.
Yep.
Then you have to deal with your fiance yourself. It's going to be a big, ugly mess, and I'm looking forward to watching it all go down. All right. Speaking of conflict and rivalry and all those things, we got together with two guys from the NFC North at NFL Honors a couple of weeks ago while we were awaiting to see who was going to be the MVP and who was going to win Super Bowl 53 and all that. On the red carpet, along came one of our favorite guys, Kyle Long. We got the kibitz in with him, and then lo and behold, from the Minnesota Vikings, the QB, Kirk Cousins himself, paid us a visit, and boy, it was uncomfortable to be sitting there to have to create detente, but somehow I did it. Take a listen to how that all goes out.
That's Dave Damashek.
Hey, long time no see. Pick that up, why don't you, Kyle Long?
Yeah, great.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
How have you been? It's been quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while. You were in my hood last time. Now I'm in Atlanta. It's warmer here. It's nice.
We ate sushi together.
We did.
It was a magical night, really, that I never forget.
We had the chef special.
They treated you well. They treated us well.
Got to write a letter to the White Sox.
Yeah. That was... You still have to make that right. I still want you to make that right, but now you're on the right team.
We've still got time.
Yeah, that's right. But you're on the right team now in the city of Chicago. Yep. Exciting season for you. Glad to see you get back out there just in time for December and the postseason there. First of all, I've never asked you this before. Do you lift?
Yeah, I lift.
Do you?
They make me lift.
Makes sense.
I don't want to usually because... Lifting hurts and you get tired.
No, I've tried it.
I like playing football, but they make you lift too.
Yeah. I did it like a few times and I was like, hurts.
Well, you're strong enough, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey, gold jacket or Lombardi? You can only have one. Which one is it?
A couple Lombardis.
A couple Lombardis. Yeah. You can only have one Lombardi.
Yeah, well, I'd say winning in the highest form of team sports, a championship, a Super Bowl, is something that's unparalleled.
Do you think that the Vikings and Lions stink for being in the NFC North but playing under a dome like cowards?
You know, sometimes when it's super cold, I'm like, man, I wish we had a dome. And then I go to the dome stadiums and I'm like, I kind of like that we're outside. I really like it. It's definitely a home field advantage. I'm not sure if Minnesota is that much colder than Chicago. I'm sure it's a little bit more north, so they can argue to have a dome, but it would be nice if all four of the teams were outside.
I mean, it's the way it's supposed to be, I don't get it. You should call them out on that.
There were a few years where we played at the Gopher Stadium, which was that was always a frosty one.
Do you ever say mean stuff to guys on the field?
Not really. I'm usually so out of breath, I just try to, maintain my level-headedness.
Does anybody say mean stuff to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Like what?
Well, Akeem Hicks is always super mean to me in practice. I'd say Clay Matthews is good at talking smack. He's
really?
A really nice guy, but he can do it with a smile on his face and those flowing locks. And there's something about
you just
that,
get
that just
lost.
Gets
like,
under
I don't your, say whatever you
it
want
to me. Just
gets
under your skin.
Just don't
a
go
bit.
Away, Clay. Yeah,
just hang out for a while.
Yeah. Hey, I talked to Chris Long of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And he was very impressed by how you played in that playoff game a few weeks back.
Well, having an opportunity to come back and play in the playoffs, I've never been in the playoffs, never played in them. So, and also having my older brother across from me, it's an added incentive.
Oh, you guys are related.
It's an added incentive to go out there and play a little harder. When you're playing against a guy like Fletcher Cox or Michael Bennett, you need to be on your P's and Q's.
Is he, you were specifically banging heads a lot with Michael Bennett, it seemed like to me that night. But is Fletcher Cox 1A to you behind Aaron Donald, it seems hard to debate, is the best.
I think they're such different players. Obviously, Aaron is, I think Aaron's the best player in football. And he commands double, triple teams and the utmost in respect. I think Fletcher is so physically dominant. He doesn't jump off the film, I guess, as much as Aaron. But when you play him, there's not many guys who can do what he does.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle Long, real quick. It's all everybody's getting awards tonight, but it's better to give than to receive. Give an award right now.
I'll give the award for just best older brother that goes to Chris Long.
That's adorbs.
And I think.
What about a person to eat way too much sushi with in the northern suburbs of Chicago? What about that?
I'd say Dave. There's a certain Dave on my list. Also, probably most likely to win in an all-you-can-eat contest would be Akeem Hicks.
Is that right? He's the best?
You can let him hear that, too.
I hate to ask. I'm sure people keep asking you. But, I mean, the thing I can't get over, and I'm not making fun, if you told a kicker to hit the crossbar, I mean, to hit the upright and then hit the crossbar, like that's what you must do on this one, they couldn't do it in 5,000 tries. Isn't that ironic and vexing?
I think the kicker position is one of the most overlooked positions in sports, and it's one of the most challenging things to do in sports. I mean, we've all messed around and tried to kick a ball through the uprights, and none of us have ever made it. If you're far enough, you're 50 yards
Speak
wide.
Speak for yourself.
If you're on target, you're short, or it's dribbling there. But you know, you have to feel for a guy, and you know,
yeah,
just,
that's the number
and just
one
hope they get another opportunity. Yeah.
Kyle,
no,
how are we doing?
How are you?
We have a mutual friend in Tom Compton.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Unbelievable guy.
He's the man, isn't
Tommy
he?
Tommy C.
Yes.
Hey, Kyle, this is Kirk.
Yeah.
Kirk, this is Kyle.
Absolutely.
We're both offensive guys, so we don't
Oh,
have
so
a lot
you're
of
familiar
animosity.
With each other.
Offensive
hey,
guys.
Kyle and I were just denouncing NFC North teams that hide under a dome. What
yeah,
about
we do.
That? We got to be outside. I mean,
that's a pretty sweet dome, you guys.
One of the
have.
Best parts about being a Viking, right? I mean, we're playing indoors.
It's cold.
Climate
outside.
Control. Don't tell me. I don't know if you played. You came back week 17.
Yeah.
You loved that we were in a dome week 17.
It is a very unique environment. Not only the fact that it was warmer in there than it was outside, but their fans are pretty crazy, man. Their fans are nuts.
It's a great place to play.
Yeah.
Have you been up there for a game?
I went to the Super Bowl last
that's
year.
That's not a Viking game.
I know. I was heartbroken, really, for all the people, but you must have had the same experience over the past year. The people there were so lovely.
Minnesota nice.
A week after what happened, you almost have a home game, the first ever home game in the Super Bowl, and the people were like, oh, well, maybe next year, you know, kind
Our
of
fans
thing.
Are the best. They deserve a world championship, and hopefully we can bring it to them.
Yeah. Well, it was great to see getting that, you know, getting into that higher end of things. Good for you with that. And I talked to Stephon Diggs. He speaks very highly
Good.
Of you as
Likewise.
Well.
Likewise.
And last thing for you, Kirk, give out an award. That's what we're doing tonight. We're not taking awards. Give one out to whatever you want. He gave one best older brother.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stephon Diggs, I'm going to say he's the best, weirdest fashion on our team by far.
Mm.
And Stephon Diggs, I'll give most likely to win an award here next year.
Ooh.
How about that?
That's a good award.
Most
I like
likely
that
to be here next year winning an award.
That's
All
awesome.
Right?
That's awesome.
I'll drop
Kirk,
the mic
let
with
me
that
give
one.
You, here, I want you to have something here. One of you gets the full series of the
New
Twilight
Moon?
Books. You know what? Why don't you, here, give one of these to Chris, one of these to your father, you
okay.
know? Spread them around the house.
I think New Moon will go
and
to my dad.
And for Kirk, oh, this is nice.
Beautiful.
You get one water ski.
One, just one.
I want to save the other one.
Slalom. Don't slalom style here.
You can afford the other one, Kirk, I think at this point. You know, just take the one, right?
Yeah.
We'll it's make that right. work. Very kind of you.
All right, cool, yeah. All right. Hey,
Thanks,
great
Dave.
Hey, great to see
Thanks
you, Kirk.
To you.
Yep. Continued success
Thank
to you.
You very much.
Kyle Long, continued success.
Thanks, Kirk.
These two are arch rivals. Can't you feel the heat? They can barely look at each other. No.
Right
no, don't make like smiles at each other. You'd be like, look at each other like you don't like each other. Look at this.
We're offensive guys.
Well, they don't like each other. They're like pretending.
Yeah, no beef.
But it's better if you do have a beef right here. Like maybe you take a swing at him or something. You forgot your books, Kyle.
You're listening to David Damashek.
All right. I think that's more than enough for today then, MVP.
I think so. I think we covered a lot.
All right, good. Thanks to Jericho. And thanks to Kyle Long, and thanks to Kirk Cousins, and thanks to MVP. We'll be back later in the week with more Hooey and Applesauce. Ooh, in the meantime, you can check out a new Daves of Thunder. In fact, I think we have two out at the time of this recording, at least episode 96, featuring what's sure to be a legendary new intro to a legendary new podcast called Chillax. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out MVP's show. What's that called? The Broadcast. I didn't know if it was going to be called The Broadcast from going forward.
Oh, that's a good call.
Maybe you
just
should
do one episode.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, where we just talk about Bradley Cooper.
No, I'll do it. For you and Ricky, I will do it. I will serve as Bradley Cooper.
Perfect.
I mean,
people already think you're him, right?
That's the point.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping up. All right, so We'll kibitz with you later in the week. Until then, go to NFL.com/DDFP. It's been a thin slice of heaven.